I'm Julia.
And I'm Henning.
And we're from Round Top. And you're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM in Acra, Hudson, and Catskill.
Tune in to all sorts of live radio shows every Sunday on WGXC 90.7 FM, beginning at 8 a.m., where the Reverend Kim Singletary is live with There's a Bright Side Somewhere from Columbia County, every Sunday at 8 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., Janessa Hope McKay brings you a slap of reality live from the WGXC studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. She's playing her top music picks and talking about her hot topics of the week until 11 a.m. At 1 p.m., every Sunday, DJ Neva Wartell is live with Music for the Masses from Catskill, with sounds from around the world. At 4 p.m. every Sunday, Carlene Murphy and Azuka Legba are live with the Lile Latan version of the WGXC Afternoon Show until 6 p.m. And every Sunday night, Tony Fallon is live with the Irish Show at 8 p.m. on the radio from Acra on 90.7 WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter Brock of Midland Park, New Jersey. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that after two recent mass shootings targeting black grocery shoppers in Buffalo and elementary school children in Texas, Governor Kathy Hochul is not proposing to ban sales of AR-15 semi-automatic weapons in New York, but she does want to limit sales to those 21 years and above. Hochul said from the New York State Intelligence Center in Rensselaer County, where she attended a meeting of the Interstate Flow of Illegal Guns, and I quote, "How does an 18-year-old purchase an AR-15 in the state of New York? That person is not old enough to buy a legal drink. I want to work with the legislature to change that," end quote. The federal assault weapons ban restricted the sale of the AR-15 in the United States from 1994 to 2004. But since they are legal in this country, and the number of deaths from mass shooting has skyrocketed in the United States, both of the shooters in Buffalo and Texas were 18 years old. Mike Murphy, a spokesperson for the state Senate Majority Leader's office, said about raising the legal age for purchasing the military-style weapons, and I quote, "This is something we have been discussing, and we have always been supportive of this idea and would certainly be in favor of moving forward," end quote. But the language of such a bill will need to be carefully written, as in March, a federal court deemed California's ban on people under 21 buying semi-automatic weapons unconstitutional. Hochul suggested that New York lawmakers may also take other steps to address the numerous mass shootings. Hochul said, and I quote, "We will do more, and I will not sleep at night until I know that everything has been done humanly possible to protect New Yorkers and to help them heal," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that state police troopers are being sent to New York schools from now until the end of the year to conduct daily check-ins after an 18-year-old murdered 19 children and two adults at a Texas elementary school on May 24th. The next day, Governor Kathy Hochul announced the police visits to schools. Hochul said, and I quote, "I want parents who have enough to worry about in their daily lives, the cost of gas at the pump, the cost of groceries, maybe putting aside money, they have enough to worry about. Let them know the state police and local law enforcement are there to protect them," end quote. But parents may worry if they read the news about the Texas shooting because a school resource officer was at the school but failed to stop the murderous rampage. Andy Pallotta, the president of the New York State United Teachers Labor Organization, said, and I quote, "What will it take to put a stop to these hateful, sickening acts of violence? Our schools must be a safe place for all. As we mourn those who have lost their lives, we must also stand up and demand better for our children, for parents, for educators, and for communities across the nation," end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. On Twitter, May 24th, after an 18-year-old murdered 19 children and two adults at an elementary school, local politicians offered fewer, and I quote, "thoughts and prayers," end quote, than at most mass shootings, and instead offered vague calls for, and I quote, "action," end quote. Both of the candidates for the special election for the 19th congressional district seat used that word. Democrat Pat Ryan tweeted, and I quote, "10 days ago, we saw a horrific racist act of gun violence at a grocery store in Buffalo, and today we have yet another mass shooting at an elementary school in Texas. We need real action to end gun violence, and we need real leaders with a backbone to say enough is enough," end quote. His Republican opponent, Mark Molinaro, tweeted a similar message. He wrote, and I quote, "It is heartbreakingly clear we need action where our words have failed and consensus where contention has divided us. I believe we all have a role to play in finding solutions and rise to the challenge," end quote. Neither offered anything specific. Other politicians were even more vague. Representative Antonio Delgado, who resigned May 25th from the 19th Congressional District, tweeted, and I quote, "My heart is breaking for the parents, loved ones, fellow students, teachers, and every single person affected by the horrific and tragic shooting in Uvalde. Our kids should feel safe and secure when they go to school, to the grocery store, to the movies. We need change now," end quote. Republican Assembly Member Chris Teague, who represents Greene County and the 102nd District, did not call for any action at all. Teague tweeted, "Tonight, the hearts of all New Yorkers and all Americans are with the victims, families, and first responders of the horrible tragedy that occurred today in Uvalde, Texas."
Thomas Frank reports for CNBC that New York-based Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer failed to pass legislation introduced after the mass shooting of blacks at a grocery store in Buffalo, 2 days after a mass shooting of elementary school children in Texas. Frank wrote, Schumer, and I quote, "pleaded with his Republican colleagues on Wednesday to consider the bill," end quote, but to no avail. The vote on the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act was 47-47. With the Senate's odd rules favoring the minority by requiring 60 votes to pass the legislation. On May 18th, the U.S. House of Representatives voted for the bill 222-203, with Democrats Paul Tonko, Sean Maloney, and Antonio Delgado on the record in favor, and Republican Elise Stefanik voting against. Delgado did not actually vote for the bill, as he turned over his vote on May 10th to Colorado Representative Joe Neguse, claiming he was, and I quote, "unable to physically attend proceedings in the House chamber due to the ongoing public emergency," end quote. Delgado resigned May 25th to become New York's lieutenant governor without announcing any COVID infection. While Schumer was ineffective in passing legislation to slow the spate of mass shootings on May 25th, he did block a Republican bill he said, and I quote, "could see more guns in school," end quote. The Luke and Alex School Safety Act that Schumer blocked was about collecting data to increase the presence of law enforcement on school campuses. Schumer tweeted, and I quote, "The truth, there were officers at the school in Texas. The shooter got past them. We need real solutions. We will vote on gun legislation, starting with the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act," end quote. And that vote failed. Read more about this story at the CNBC website. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that on May 25th, a federal court turned back a legal challenge to a New York State law that makes it easier to bring lawsuits against gun manufacturers. New York Attorney General Letitia James said, and I quote, "As we mourn the deaths of 19 innocent children lost to gun violence in Uvalde and the countless more in Buffalo and across America every day, this is a moment of light and hope. New York is proud to defend the right to reasonable gun restrictions that protect all of us. As public officials, we were elected to solve problems and address the needs of the people. Prayers alone will no longer do, and cowardliness is not part of the job description. New York will always lead, and I urge others with a backbone to follow," end quote. The celebration will most likely be short, as the radical Supreme Court is expected to soon strike down New York's strict concealed gun carry provision. Governor Kathy Hochul said on May 25th that she would call a special legislative session this summer to address the ruling if the law is overturned. In the final weeks of New York's current legislative session, Democrats are expected to tighten the state's red flag law meant to keep guns away from people deemed to be a danger. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Emily Munson in the Times Union tracks the 76 school shooting incidents since 1971 in New York. That number comes from the Advanced Thinking in Homeland Security program at the U.S. Naval Postgraduate School Center for Homeland Security and Defense, which counts a school shooting incident, and I quote, "when a gun is brandished, is fired, or a bullet hits school property for any reason, regardless of the number of victims, time of day, or day of week," end quote. By definition, there have been four shootings at New York schools this year, in Staten Island, Brooklyn, Buffalo, and Mount Vernon. Of the known cases since 1971, 33 of the perpetrators were between 13 and 17 years old, and four were 18 years old, and eight were 21 years of age or older. Handguns were used in most of these incidents, with rifles used in four cases. Munson writes, and I quote, "The 76 incidents produced 97 victims, most of them male students who were wounded. In nearly all the incidents, one or two people were injured or killed," end quote. FBI records say there were 10 active shooting incidents in New York from the year 2000 through the year 2019. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
David Cruz reports at the Gothamist about the reactions to the murder of 19 elementary school children and two adults in Texas from Republicans running for governor in New York. Long Island Representative Lee Zeldin tweeted condolences. Andrew Giuliani, the son of former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, urged his Twitter followers to, and I quote, "pray together with me for them," end quote. Millionaire hedge fund manager Harry Wilson called the shooting, and I quote, "unimaginable and unacceptable" on Twitter. Former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino called for, and I quote, "enhanced background checks," end quote, but criticized politicians who, and I quote, "rushed out to shamefully politicize this tragedy," end quote. Read the full story. Read more about this story at The Gothamist. Annie McDonald reports for NYN Media about how the now radical U.S. Supreme Court will probably soon overturn New York's rules about who can carry a concealed firearm in public. Scott Lemieux, a teaching professor of political science at the University of Washington, said of Tuesday's shooting in Texas, and I quote, "We are now in an age in which the court is heavily polarized along party lines. 30 years ago, this kind of event could have made a difference. The reality is that there is pretty strong opposition among Republican elites to gun control. If Sandy Hook didn't change that, if the Orlando shooting didn't change that, it just seems unlikely that this is going to do it," end quote. The New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin decision is expected by the end of June. Two Rensselaer County residents brought the suit after applying for unrestricted licenses to carry handguns for self-defense. Instead, they got restricted licenses to carry handguns in specific settings, including hunting and target shooting. They claimed that was unconstitutional under the Second and Fourteenth Amendments. Eric Rubin, an assistant professor at Southern Methodist University's Dedman School of Law and a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice, said, and I quote, "It seems like there's a majority of the Supreme Court who is skeptical about the constitutionality of New York's restriction." Chief Justice John Roberts said in November, and I quote, "You don't have to say when you're looking for a permit to speak on a street corner or whatever that, you know, your speech is particularly important. So why do you have to show in this case, convince somebody that you're entitled to exercise your Second Amendment right," end quote. The state legislature is also expected to respond to the ruling. State Senator Michael Gianaris said, and I quote, "We're not going to just sit back at a time of increasing gun violence and not react when the Supreme Court puts us in greater danger than we're already in. So you can rest assured that the legislature will move very quickly," end quote. Read more about this story at NYN Media. Ryan Whalen reports for New York State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul is moving forward with a proposal to block anyone under 21 years old from buying AR-15-style weapons, even though a California court recently struck down a similar law. In the last 2 weeks, 18-year-olds have used semi-automatic AR-15-style guns to commit mass murders in Buffalo and Uvalde, Texas. A few weeks ago, a California court ruled against banning 18-year-olds there from purchasing similar weapons. Hochul said, and I quote, "I'm not going to let my fear of losing a court case to stop me from what I think is correct for New Yorkers and will protect them, because you may get a good judge also who actually cares and has common sense and would understand that these are not punitive measures. We have the right to protect people as well, and I'll make that argument in court any day of the week," end quote. Former New York State Supreme Court Justice Penny Wolfgang agreed. She said, and I quote, "There was a dissent in the decision, number one, and number two, California is a different state from New York. Different court, different judges, and there may very well be a different interpretation," end quote. But when inevitable appeals of any potential lawsuit over the New York law head to the U.S. Supreme Court, will it have a chance to survive? Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice holiday weekend. And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the holiday weekend. Well, on Saturday, there will be a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 74 degrees. On Saturday night, a chance of more showers, mainly after 7 p.m., but it will be mostly clear with a temperature low of around 54 degrees. On Sunday, it will be sunny with a temperature high near 80 degrees, and Sunday night mostly clear with a temperature low of around 58 degrees. And on Monday, Memorial Day, It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 88 degrees. And Monday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 66. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Christina Bonesack of Germantown, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Like a fire hydrant, like a public drinking fountain, like a park bench, WGXC is always there for you, at your service. 90.7 FM, community radio.
Number 10.
Thank you.
Number nine, number nine, number nine, number nine, number nine.
Nine, nine.
That was the Ibibi Sound Machine with Electricity from 2022.
number
8. Next, we hear "It's Hard to Say Exactly How I Feel" from the 2022 EP 5 for 5 from Jaded Azarides, which is Columbia County-based poet Karen Schomer and legendary bassist Mike Watt from the Minutemen and Firehose and other projects.
Like train wheels whispering to a stop. Like a peony releasing scent. Transitioning from humble to glorious. Like rust. Like tiny scissors snipping paper dolls from frozen leaves. Like silver switches where the freight comes through. Like boot treads stamping clubs and diamonds. Like the word swan in blue neon. Like bodega lights down the hill and the final darkness of the river. The next door neighbor might be a problem. He asked me to let him into the basement to make a repair. Buckling joists, stair lip, quarter round, mold on a cardboard box. Hide here, under this table. Voices in the kitchen. Can I have a bite? You ask such penetrating questions. Roughened hands scrape dust, ridden with fleas. Heavy weight on my chest. I press the curve of a rib, then the rib next to it, until I find the spot that hurts. Everyone is laughing. My organs crush together. Light a candle. Leave the room. Lock the door. It's a kind of suicide. The woods and water are on fire. The village is on fire. The amusement park burns down. It seems final, but it isn't.
Number
7 7 7 7 7 7 7.
I'm not afraid to
That was 2022 new music from Lucretia Dalt. The song was called Mariterna, and it's from the Baby soundtrack. That's a HBO Max TV show with Lucretia Dalt there with the music on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Number
6.
From the 2022 album Warping All By Yourself, this is Raw Food from Wet Tuna from Brattleboro.
Growing.
You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM.
Number
Congotronics International there performing with Deerhoof, Juana Molina, the Kashia All-Stars, and others on a 2022 song called Where's the One?
Number
4444444. Here is 2022 new music from Ghost Power from their named after themselves album. This is called Panic in the Isles of Splendor. We'll be right back.
number
three.
Here are four legendary jazz names. On reeds, Daniel Carter. On piano, Matthew Shipp. On bass, William Parker. And on drums, Gerald Cleaver. This is the song Sun Verified from the 2022 album Welcome Adventure Volume 2.